From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
it's Danny, Dave, and Moore, streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
It's Danny, Dave, and Moore. We're joined by one of our favorite guests, a guy that we've gotten to know over the last year, Barkevious Mingo's with us. How are you, man?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Doing pretty well.
Pretty good.
How's the preseason been so far?
It's been going pretty good. It's actually been going pretty fast, in my opinion. It seems like just yesterday we got here, but I mean, I guess camp, your days run together anyway, so I guess that's the reason why.
Every day seems like it's 2 days, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, settle an argument I was having with somebody. I thought you told us last year that was the first time you ever played linebacker.
Stacked.
Okay. So you were a linebacker on the edge, but now second level and dropping into like zones and stuff
that. Right, yeah, and I was the will linebacker. And, KJ spot, that was the first time doing that.
Yeah, and you did a great job with it. I mean, for a guy who's never played, especially picking it up in the NFL, but now you're back, three-point stance, you feel a little bit more at home, I guess.
Right. You know, haven't got to do it that much since college, but now getting to get back in it and, get comfortable back again with it. So I think it can be a good thing.
Good. How much can you give this team as a pass rusher?
Well, that depends how much I can get out there. But, in my opinion, there shouldn't be a drop-off, with the guys that we have, with me, and the guy, like I said, the guys we just brought in, I don't think we'll have a drop-off at all. I actually think we do better because we're bringing in a lot of guys, a lot of speed, and if we can get these guys fresh and in the game, I think that can improve our sack numbers.
What do you think about the idea of blitzing more this year?
I love it. I think everybody loves that. You can actually DB that. They love that, So when you're on the line, you're closer, that's, lights your eyes up.
This is your second year here. Your perspective on this defense, because I think this defense was the team's identity for a long stretch of time, 4 or 5 years. And there's been some changes. What do you see when you look at your defense now?
I still see that same kind of defense, defense that's going to get after you. And I would say you would have to include that special teams unit with the defense because, for so long, just outside looking in, watching the Seahawks, you see guys on defense and special teams making those big hits, those, exciting plays. And that's what we still have. We still have that defense that's flying around making those plays, special teams with Lockett, making big runs, Griff coming down, laying out somebody, first play, getting a fumble, That's the identity of this team.
Yeah, you love special teams. It shows, man, because you play like a demon. And it's good for your open field tackling and things like that. All right, what's your favorite special team?
Punt
team. Yeah.
I mean, I love all the ones where I can go make tackles. That's the fun part. Like I said, you get to make those exciting plays. Blocking, but, going down, running down there, getting to make those hits, and I mean, that's the fun part.
The worst is kickoff return.
Yeah.
Why is that bad?
Because you have to back up, and then the
30
guy,
yards back, and then you have a guy that's running full speed at you. And you have to try to block that guy in open field.
Right. And if you're too light on your feet, like if you think he's going to put a move, he runs you over.
Right. If you're too heavy, he'll run around you. It's a delicate dance you got to do. So.
Also, you're a linebacker or a D-end, and you don't block for a living.
Right.
I never understood why they put me on that. I was on the front line. You know what I did, Barkevious? I played my way out of a job.
Let the returner
get hit a couple times.
Hey, have you done that with other things in life?
No, I never.
Like
did
laundry.
That. I have done that with laundry.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you mixed the colors and the whites together.
Turn a few
That's
things.
The way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, you're not.
You're supposed to have them divided.
Turns out, Mark, I thought so too. I thought you just throw it all in there. Then I turned a couple of my wife's white things pink or whatever. Let me ask you: who do you think is a guy on the D-line, a pass rusher that stands out to you that maybe we haven't heard about, somebody that you see in practice that you think looks really good?
I mean, I'll just go back and echo kind of what I said earlier. In my opinion, I think you would have heard of all these guys. Rasheem, Cassius. We haven't got Ziggy back yet, but we're going to get him back. And Martin. I mean, these guys are guys that are, making plays in practice, but they're also – translate into the preseason. I mean, the ball's coming out a little bit quick, but you see the moves and you see an extra tick, that move's coming clean. So that's kind of, how I see it. You know, they're not going to be getting the ball off that quick all season. You know, right. They don't want to get anybody hurt, so this, you know, just snapping and getting it out of their hands.
Yeah, Minnesota, I mean, it was just five yard out. I mean, yeah, you could never get there.
Yeah.
Hey, going back to special teams, did you were drafted what, number six overall, number eight, number six. So did you have to, like, check your ego a little bit with playing on special teams? I just assume a guy that was drafted as high as you, it might be difficult for someone, not you personally, but maybe for others in your position to do that.
In my opinion, I came in there and I didn't think anything of it. I played it in college, and like I said, I actually like it. So I didn't think anything. I assumed I was going to be on it. If I wasn't going to be on it, I was going to be like, why the heck not?
or the other,
why the heck not? Yeah, you know, but I don't know.
I want to notice the moment of veteran savvy that you got to the moment and you held yourself. That was veteran composure right there.
Hey, he's fresh off the field. What do you expect? Right?
And I want to apologize to you because I know we've asked you this before, but I've forgotten your answer. Maybe the listeners haven't heard it anyway. How you got your name?
My mom just made it up. You know, she got kind of, I don't know the word, upset. You know, my dad kind of was naming all the kids after him, you know. So she was like, you know what? This is my turn.
What's your mom's name?
Barbara.
Oh, so there you get it. That's awesome. That's great.
She kind of made it. She blended, and I don't know. Somebody told me she just threw the Scrabble letters out there, and then made the word.
That's not true.
But no, it was.
There's a lyric. It sounds lyrical. I mean, there is, like, the way it flows off. Yeah.
Lots of people like you because of that. You get lots of fans because of your name. I hear people saying that. Yeah.
Do you ever go by Bark for short?
That's what Bill used to call me. It's like, hey, Bark.
Oh, did he?
He's got a podcast named Bark.
Thank you, Danny.
Yeah,
we have something in common. You didn't know that.
I did not.
You're Bark to Bill Belichick, and I do a podcast called Bark.
Yeah.
The second season was released today, and you can get it wherever you find podcasts.
Hey,
Stitcher, Apple iTunes, all that crap.
Have you ever been on Stitcher before?
No, I don't even know what it is. No idea. You've been on it?
I've not.
Yeah. Do you think we asked Tom Murphy of the Mariners, he's the backup catcher, if he ever thought that he would listen to Bark, and he said no. What about you, Barkevious? You think you'll ever listen to that?
You send me a link, I'll listen to Bark.
Will you? Okay. All right. I'll pass it along.
Have we done enough plugging of your...
Well, it's just the first day of it, so yeah, I'm just going to do some self-promotion right in the middle of an interview. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Barkevious.
I don't think it's radio company carries to this.
No, they want it because they're producing the podcast,
Perfect.
So they'd like to have people go. So go listen to Bark.
Yeah, everybody, please listen to Bark. Please, so Jim can stop freaking promoting it every day.
We haven't been on the air for a few days.
Yeah, but also, there's not been a player interview where that has not come up.
Well, Barkevious is a nice kid. I bet he probably likes dogs.
This is the one time it should have come up because of the
it's what they call it, a natural tie-in, I believe, in the marketing. It was good synergy that was exercised here.
What do you like doing off the field?
I'm a movie guy. I love watching movies. When I get off a series, I'm trying to find the next one, and I hate the fact that, you know, you watch one and then you watch it in 2 days, you know. Yeah. You watch 10 episodes in 2 days, and you got to find something else. So that's like kind of where I am now. So I'm just watching random stuff.
What have you been? What's the best? Because to me, Breaking Bad, we got into that 24 a while ago. What, yeah. 10 years ago? What's been the best series that you've watched?
Game of Thrones.
Really?
Yeah. Game of Thrones is a good one.
Yeah, that was.
Who's your favorite character in Game of Thrones?
Jon Snow.
Oh no, Jon Snow was terrible.
What?
Jon Snow was so boring.
He's the King of the
North. No, I know, but he was so boring. God, every time they went to him, I was like, oh, here comes boring Jon Snow with his, like, oh, I'm victimized and I'm trying to be really, really righteous about all of this.
Come on now. You can't hate on
Jon Snow. I like Tyrion. Mostly because I'm diminutive.
You're a short guy.
Yeah, exactly. I wish I had the kind of verbiage, the kind of vocabulary Tyrion did. Tyrion was awesome.
Hey, I love it.
I like when you criticized his pick. He's like, what?
Yeah. God, I hated Jon Snow. Every time they went up there, I was like, okay, here comes more boring stuff.
Really?
When they killed him, I was so excited. And then they brought him back. I was like, no! Of all the different characters to bring back, why him?
Oh, man, I'm hurt. I'm really hurt.
You know what movie I saw this weekend that I love, though? Den of Thieves.
Oh, yeah, it was a good movie.
It's great.
Yeah.
like it's the quintessential 50 cents in it, which is awesome. And Gerard Butler. Yeah, the 300 guy. Yeah. But it's like the perfect mindless robbery movie.
Right.
Like lots of big guns.
Is 50 Cent the guy who threw out the first pitch?
Yeah.
That went to like third base?
Yeah.
I could never respect that guy.
He had a bad first
I'm
pitch.
I'm like, dude, haven't you thrown a rock or a snowball or something?
But think about it like this, though. Like, you know, I did it at my high school, and I'm like, it was a high school game, and I'm nervous. I'm like practicing beforehand. I'm like, I can't mess this up, you know?
Yeah.
I can't mess this up. It's nerves. I mean,
you get one throw.
You get one throw,
yeah, but
and you
come
can't
on.
Take it back.
It's okay if you, like, bounce it or, you know, sail it, but, like, his form and everything was like.
He threw it in the on-deck circle.
The worst was John Wall, who is an actual professional athlete.
Number one overall
basketball player
in the NBA draft.
Have you seen that one?
He had
because
a bad
I'm
one.
Like, it goes back to look, I'm not saying I would throw a strike, but I'm just saying that, like, don't throw it to third base.
You would at least look athletic while doing it.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
But
again, it goes back to nerves. I mean, that's not his
so,
job.
Are you saying that you screwed it up?
I didn't screw it up. You know, I got it there. You know, it looked good. It was a strike, but it was like anybody would knock that out the park. You know, it was one of those. It's like it was like change-up speed, but it was my fastball. Yeah. I just wanted to get it to the plate, and it was just like a tee, and that just went in there. But, I mean, yeah, anybody would pick that one off, and, you know, I'm out of the game anyways. But.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing was Wyman sent us video of the 50 Cent first pitch, only when Dave sends video, it's not that he's editing it on his computer or anything. He's holding his phone up to the television while he's sitting in his easy chair, and you're like, hear him go, look at this idiot.
That's the way I do it.
It's the most,
I didn't know there's any other way.
It's the most old man thing possible. Can you believe this?
What do you mean? I saved you the step of having to push on the link. You just push the button and go.
It's like, wow, look at Dave's shortcut. Living room's a little dark. Like, why doesn't he have more overhead lights? I'm worried about his eyesight in there.
I'm sure this is all very interesting.
Did we accomplish anything in this interview?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but you're a hell of a player, man. I know that, and really excited to see you out play, especially special teams, man. I really admire that. You guys take a lot of pride in that, huh?
We do. We really do.
Schneider does a good job. Was there a little bit of like pressure, you know, after last year? Because there was some coverage breakdowns and stuff like that, and I guess that's something we haven't seen around here in a while. I mean, you did a great job, but I mean, there was a lot of times where, you know, there were some returns and stuff like that.
Late in the season, we kind of we took a downturn, you know, and that was one of the things that in this offseason that he was really focused on, you know, correcting. And, you know, guys were bought in, you know, we're out there doing it every day in practice, getting better at it. And, you know, I think it's been jumping off the film these first two preseason games, and it's kind of something that we want to keep building on every week until the season, you know, starts and even go even higher after that, you know. Yeah. So.
You mentioned that Shaquem, the hit on the first preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Did he force a fumble? Because it was hard to see on the TV
the
copy. Yeah, and it just went bounced right back to him.
Yeah, he just picked up real fast, but he hit him. Ball popped out.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't see it until after the, like, we got to watch the game, you know, and I'm like.
Yeah, he hit him hard. It was good.
Like, why didn't I see that? Like, I was down there, could picked it up, you know, but, you know, great play, you know. He's a guy that's going to, you know, definitely help that, you know, all special teams and also the defense, too. So, you know, we're excited to get him.
Barkevious.
Yeah, you seem like a really nice kid, by the way. You seem like you enjoy life and have a good perspective on things.
That's
pretty much how you were raised?
Oh, yeah. You know, everything's a little bit slower in Louisiana. So we just mellow out, you know, chill.
When Jim says that, I always want one of the players to turn, and you seem like a really nice old man.
Nice grandfather. You know? Can I call
grandfather?
You
how old do you think I am, pal?
Let's say 61.
No way.
That's pretty close.
What? Aren't you 61?
62.
Oh.
Yeah. It's pretty close, though.
Nice.
I look pretty good for 62, though, don't I? Yeah. That's right. You should have seen it. When I was down in Mission.
Yeah, you have great kids, right?
Listen, Mission Beach in San Diego, when I got out of the water, I mean, I was doing a pose. The girls were coming after me. Beautiful. I still got it.
Did you hear what he just said?
What? No.
So you have grandkids, right?
No, I don't have grandkids.
Here's the thing.
You got 15-year-old twins. Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I do. We had them when we were 47. My wife was 46 and I was 47. Yeah.
So. It was a really sweet story about...
I did like you. Yeah. You're not as great a kid as I thought.
About a month and a half before those twins were born, Jim and I were working together at a different paper, and I said, Jim, how excited are you? Twins are on the way. And he goes, Danny, there's a big part of me every day that wants to turn and run like hell.
Yeah, what if his wife hears?
I know, right?
Yeah.
She's heard worse on this. No. She listens to this
show. She
doesn't
listen to this show.
Anything else?
I think that's it, Barkevious. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
5 o'clock refresh brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. When training camp opened, I would have considered Barkevious Mingo not quite a long shot, but I certainly didn't think his spot on the roster was assured. How's he standing now, Dave?
I think he's solidified a place on the team. I mean, did he get a sack in the Bronco game? I'm trying to think. I know last year he had one sack, but he's put some good pressure on. I think he's too versatile of a player to not have him on your roster.
He didn't have a sack, but he was the one that he opened up the lane for Deshaun Shedd to get the safety.
Yeah, he and Marsh were in there on that one.
Yeah, they ran some kind of stunt there or something. But yeah, I just think he seems to, like, everybody loves him, and he's kind of a glue guy. But for his willingness on special teams to play, I mean, and you see him running down on punts in the preseason. I'm with him, man. You know, I loved punt team. Punt team was great. And then I liked the field goal block team. I was on the field goal team. So I was the edge guy. I really enjoyed that. Like, when I went to Denver, I said, hey, listen, I want to play this position. And then I liked punt and kickoff, not so much. But those two, I think, is where he really excels on kickoff and then on punt team. So, and he's right. I mean, for a linebacker, blocking is, you know, punt return, kickoff return. It's not second nature for a linebacker, but he does a good job, and he's got really long arms, so I think he's a good blocker. And then he covers like a demon. But, you know, like I said, he can play the stacked backer, you know, if he has to. Plus, he can rush the edge. Plus, he's a great special team guy. So, to me, I don't think there's any question that he makes the team. Salary-wise, is he, what, in the $3 million range, something like that?
It would save him a couple million dollars.
Yeah, I don't think that's worth it, you know, and they don't have huge pressing needs as far as that goes. So, yeah, I think he's made the team.
I'm looking at his stats here. He had 5 sacks his rookie season in Cleveland, and he's only had 5 sacks since. But you look at him, if they're going to have the sack by committee, I mean, he's definitely part of that committee, and hopefully he'll get some more pressure like he did the other night in Minnesota.
Did you guys hear the stat? I don't know who brought this up. Maybe we've talked about it on this show. But in 2013, Michael Bennett led the team in sacks. 8.5.
Well, yeah, Moyer brought that up.
Huh?
Paul Moyer brought that up.
Yeah, Moyer did. So, yeah, I mean, is there somebody on that team that can get 8.5 sacks that when you look out there?
Yes.
A couple guys, maybe. You know, let's say Jacob Martin doubles his, so he gets 6. You know, and then...
Well, Ansa, you figure, is going to get 8.
Yeah.
8 to 10.
You hope
even
so.
If he plays 12 games.
He's
or
the one
like
guy
that.
With a resume, right?
Yeah.
And then Jaren Reed's going to be cut down by 6 games, but still, you know, maybe 5 sacks out of him. And then they start blitzing, you know, maybe Bobby gets a couple. What was Bobby's best year? I think he got 4.5 or something like that. So, KJ, Kendricks is a great pass rusher, too.
Do they need to add a pass rusher? There's been this conversation, and part of it's because you have a couple big names hanging out there. Jadeveon Clowney has not gotten a contract the size. The market was set with DeMarcus Lawrence and Frank Clark's deal, and obviously Houston, either Clowney wants significantly more than that, or more likely Houston's decided they're not going to pay him more than that. Also, Everson Griffin, who's been a very productive player for Minnesota, might be on the outs there. Could Seattle use... I ask that. It's hard to make the decision or declaration Seattle needs another pass rusher because you haven't seen Ziggy Ansah out there at all, which isn't a surprise because we knew about the shoulder injury when they signed him, and he's actually ahead of where some people thought he might be. So you should expect to see him pretty early in the season. Do they need another pass rusher?
I wouldn't be surprised to see them try to do something. What time of year was it when they brought in Sheldon Richardson?
It was about a week before the start of the regular season.
Yeah, I remember we were out at Edgar's talking about it, and it was in the fall. So, yeah, before they even started. I guess, you know, I wouldn't be shocked by that. But again, you know, is this a team that lives and dies by the sack? I mean, look, you definitely want to get sacks. I mean, you want to get pressures, all that stuff. But, I mean, this defense has not been predicated on a lot of pressure. And, you know, it's been more about takeaways and keeping everything in front of you, good corner play. So I guess I would – if you held me down, I'd say no, they won't do anything. But I wouldn't be surprised. You know, John Schneider always has something going. Who would you want to see in here? Which one of those two guys, whether it's Clowney or...
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Clowney come in here.
Or Griffin.
I mean, it might be a one-year rental with him.
Yeah. I'm not as excited about Clowney because I think you'd have to give up more to get him. I don't think you're going to get him for free. Whereas I think Griffin you could probably get.
Would you give up a second for Clowney?
No.
You wouldn't give up a second for Clowney?
For 1 year, Jadeveon Clowney? No.
Hmm.
You just, what did they get for Frank Clark? I guess they got a first this year and a second next year.
Well, they got all those compensatory picks for next year, right?
I refuse to consider compensatory picks as some big...
Isn't there 10 or 11?
Who cares?
Why is that?
Because we make...
When you make the pick, whether it's compensatory or not, it's still a pick, and so it's still an asset.
Yeah, it is. But the idea that that's going to pay off and like, oh, you can't have to worry about the compensatory picks, the chances of you... With a compensatory pick, they're never higher than the end of the third round. That's the highest a compensatory pick gets. And that pans out to being a good player, a capable starting player, 50% of the time maybe. Yet we treat them like there's this, oh, they're going to really be able to reload with this. I get it. Like, it is an asset, but the idea that that's something you want to hold on to, yeah, I'm done.
Look at what they've
that.
Done when the third and fourth and fifth rounds.
Yeah, so they could get Riso Diombo.
Seventh.
Yeah, they've definitely the
Richard
fifth and
Sherman.
Sixth and seventh. Yes, yes, but Nick Vinette, like other guys that have,
Nick
they've been
Vinette's
good players.
Good.
He looks good, but like the idea that that's going to be something like, oh, you can't miss. They're going to have a big compensatory.
Cam Chancellor.
Pick. Yeah, fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Danny's like what is it the old fable about the ant and the grasshopper?
Yes, I'm entirely the grasshopper.
You are the grasshopper
because I feel like my approach as the ant has paid off and yielded very little.
No, he's set for the future, whereas you just squander away your time and think, oh, everything will be fine later. It's now about the present. That's all I care about.
Dave, I would gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Winter is coming, Danny.
Wimpy.
It is Danny David Moore. We're going to give you a list on who helped themselves and who needs to play catch-up in this exhibition season. That's next.
This is Danny David Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
Paxton Lynch played his way into consideration for the backup job with his first exhibition game. Second one casts some questions about that, and he's not going to play in the third one after suffering a concussion in that game. Where do things stand in the competition to be Russell's backup?
Well, I think if you had to choose right now, I think they would take Geno Smith.
He's been the better overall in practice.
Yeah, he's been better in
through training camp.
And he had kind of the same type of game against Denver that Paxton Lynch had against Minnesota, where there wasn't much time. And I don't know, I'd say Paxton Lynch is... He got a more of a raw deal. Their left tackle in Kansa, I mean, that guy, you got to do better than that, man. He barely bumped the defensive end and was forcing him to step up into the pocket. And whereas I thought in Denver there was some pressure that was brought on Geno Smith. So, I mean, it's not very ideal situations there. You really want to see a guy be able to, you know, go where it's – play in a normal situation, and all the blitzing in the preseason, it's so weird to me.
Why do you think they're doing that?
I don't know. I how people are treating the preseason just kind of changes, and it used to be you'd never see that. It would be like in a Pro Bowl game. You know, you can only run one blitz per half or whatever they have, and the reason for that is because, look, they're not going to, you know, you're not preparing for the other team as much as when during the regular season. During the preseason, it's all about you and what you're doing. This is what we want to do. And then you'd get like, I remember like the night before a game, we would maybe look at, okay, you know, these are the players. This is kind of what they run. Let's look at a little bit of film from last year. And then you would, you know, go out and play the team. So there was hardly any prep. Then when you get into the regular season, it's all about the other team. So I don't know why that's happening. I don't think you get a real good, realistic look. But, you know, maybe it's – I mean, for the Seahawks, just to speak for them, they may want to blitz more this year, and maybe they just want to practice it.
I hope that's what it suggests, because I'm looking forward to that. And we all know that Pete Carroll hasn't really wanted to blitz in the past, but you talked about, Dave, with the Seahawks in the past with the sack numbers haven't been all that significant, but they had a better back end back then, too, and I just wonder if they feel like they need to mix it up with who they have at corner and at the safety spots now.
Well, there's a great example of what a blitz can get you, but what can burn you is it was the Vikings were setting up a screen. I'm trying to think who was rushing. I think it was Kendricks and maybe Mingo, and then they had, I think it was Shedd or somebody. Anyway, in the Minnesota game, they put pressure on Kirk Cousins enough so he sailed the little setup screen. But if he completes that pass, that thing is out the gate. I mean, it's going to go for 40 yards because, you know, you're bringing six guys. Everybody's all spread out. So there's a huge risk in that. And that's the thing that I think, you know, you need to consider. And I know this is a Pete Carroll defense, and he wants to keep everything in front of him. You know, every coach that's like a big cover three guy, which means you get three guys deep in the deep part of the field, they're pretty conservative. Like, they don't want – that's how Tom Catlin was. They're a team that's not going to take a lot of chances, and that's kind of what the Seahawks have been. So I'd be surprised if they did too much of it. It sounds like a great – I mean, I liked it. I always liked it when I got to go and rush the quarterback. I loved that. And it was very easy. Like, you don't have any assignments or anything, right? It's like you just go through this gap. But, I mean, you don't have to read it, whether it's a run or a pass. You're going. So it makes it easy, and it's lots of fun. But there can be big risks on the other side.
Usually I was always told that teams don't blitz in the preseason for a couple reasons. The first is that – it doesn't tell you much about your own players.
You can't evaluate the players.
Because what you want to see is, if we get this guy in a one-on-one matchup, can he win
it? Yeah, like a pass rush. I mean, you want to see a guy, you don't want to see just some guy run through a hole in the offense because you out-schemed him.
And if it was a regular season game and the idea of, okay, are they expecting this blitz? But if the other team's not game planning for you, that doesn't give you a good indication of whether or not that will be an effective play in the regular season would be right. The other part of it. If Seattle is going to blitz more, though, they would probably want to get, I would judge based on Pete and the way he's coached his team in the past, he wants guys repeating and going through and doing the things that they will do in the regular season, that he could see some value in that of this is how this play is supposed to work.
Yeah, I mean, you want to try to get every game situation that you can in the preseason, you know, whether it's scoring a two-point conversion or running a two-minute drill. And so it would stand to reason that, yeah, you want to take a look at it and see what it's like, you know, how aggressive are these guys. Some players are no good at it. You know, some players aren't as good at it as others, where you see like a guy like Bobby Wagner, he just has a knack. But there could be a linebacker that's equally good as Bobby, which there isn't. But, you know, if he doesn't have the knack to rush the quarterback, you'll see it. So you got to figure out in live situations who do I send?
Do we learn anything about where they're expecting to play, guys? Because Michael Kendricks got a lot of opportunities, and it looked like he was playing the strong side linebacker a little bit closer up on the line of scrimmage almost.
Yeah, I think that's how it's going to be. And I know that Pete said that it's not like they're going to change their scheme or anything, but and the only reason they can do this is because of the athleticism of the linebackers, but they want to leave regular personnel on the field more than they would have in the past. So instead of subbing one of the linebackers out, they want to go with the three linebackers. And a lot of that has to do with Michael Kendricks. And now Pete said he thinks he can rush like a defensive end and he can cover like a strong safety. So it's kind of like having, you know, Big Nickel out there. So,
ooh, Big Nickel, Dave.
Yeah, you like that?
I do like Big Nickel.
You remember Big Nickel days? That was like a insert in the paper.
Yeah.
You would go and get discounts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the Little Nickel, wasn't it?
I thought it was the Big Nickel.
I think it's the Little Nickel was the want ads.
The want ads part.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it was like Craigslist before Craigslist.
Well, you two newspaper men would know better than me.
Yeah, Craigslist before Craigslist was Little Nickel.
Okay.
Big Nickel features Michael Kendricks, apparently.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, well, do you think they have any idea on what the sentencing, what's going to come of that September 25th with Michael Kendricks?
I do think they have an idea.
And you think that it's no big deal?
Yeah.
Will it affect the roster cut down at linebacker at all?
Why? You're going to keep a guy...
Well, if they had some inside information thinking whether
he
was either going to go to jail or not go to jail.
We're not going to use the terminology insider information.
That's not going to be used when it comes to the sentencing of Michael Kendricks.
Well, I'm talking about the Seahawks. Carroll and Schneider might have
inside
information.
I think just as a general precaution, we should keep insider information entirely outside this discussion.
Okay, well then outsider information, anything. So pretty much you're feeling 100% September 25th, when we go to the sentencing, that Michael Kendricks will be on this team.
You want to bet another
$100? No, I don't. Yeah. I've already lost. I'm not going to chase. I've learned the evils of chasing. Yeah. Chasing does not work out well, generally speaking.
Chasing a bad bet?
Yeah.
Well, the way they're talking about him totally indicates, well, I don't know for sure, but it
leads you to believe.
Yeah, he's going to be out there. He's going to be ready
to go. If he
goes to
jail, you give me $50 back. That's
no,
what I
absolutely
think.
Not. No.
Absolutely
no
not?
Absolutely not. No, that's not how it works. That's
I'll take
not how
no, but absolutely not. I think you should try and think that one over a little
absolutely
bit.
Absolutely not. No chance. I think Kendricks is going to be, and I think they loved the way he played for him last year. I mean, you remember, he basically came in and started the same week he signed with this team, playing on that Monday night in Chicago, and you saw him. They had him rushing the passer and some of that. I think they're excited about what he can do for this defense.
Did he get 2 sacks last year? I think he did. So either one, where he had recorded 1.5, something like that. But yeah, I mean, he can pretty much do everything, and he's the guy you want on the field. I mean, he was picked one spot in front of Bobby Wagner. So yeah, having those guys together on the field, that'll be nice. It'll be interesting to watch. But I don't think they're going to go crazy with it. You know, if they're going to have 4 wides out there and 1 running back, yeah, you're probably going to bring somebody else in. But you know, if they get caught, the big formation that everybody runs is the 11 personnel grouping, which is a tight end, a running back, and 3 wide receivers. You can probably leave them in with that. And that's like the most popular personnel grouping that you see these days.
We got a little bit of news about DK Metcalf. He's going to be back sooner rather than later. How do the wide receivers look? We'll tell you next.
You're listening to Danny Dave and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
5 o'clock refresh brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. I think we know the top 2 receivers in Seattle's depth chart. I think it's Tyler Lockett and then Jerron Brown. Mm-hmm. DK Metcalf did not play last week, and then Pete Carroll said afterward about a medical procedure, something he was going to have done on his knee. It sounds like that was not too serious. Pete saying he's week to week, and it sounds like they expect him to be ready for week 1. I think he's pretty certain to be in on the roster. How does the rest of the wide receivers look on this team?
It's a good question. I mean, as far as how it's going to hash out, I think Malik Turner's looked great at practice. John Ursua has been a guy in just 2 catches that he had, one in the Denver game and one in the Minnesota game, where kind of looked like Doug Baldwin. He looked like that little scat back that you would want in the middle of the field working the zones, and looks like he's got good hands. We know he can score touchdowns based on what he did in college. He had 17 touchdowns his senior year, 16 of them receiving, but that led the nation. So, yeah, there's him. Keenan Reynolds, to me, unfortunately, is starting to kind of fade out. But there's still a big question with Jazz Ferguson, because he had a drop the other day and, you know, a couple of – what do you have, 2 catches?
He fumbled.
Yeah, he had the fumble. And so that was kind of disappointing, because he had such a great – it's kind of funny, you know, the guys that played well in week 1, other than Austin Calitro, didn't really play that well in week 2. So he didn't answer a lot of questions there. But I'm sure that one's going to come down to practice and what they've seen. And then, you know, just listen to what Russell says. I mean, he's the one that was supporting Jerron Brown in the beginning. And then, he talks about Malik Turner quite a bit. So what about Jennings? He's the biggest question mark to me. Gary Jennings probably had the fullest resume coming out of college than of anybody. I mean, Ursua, yeah, but he also played in a little bit lesser of a division. They're in the WAC, right?
Hawaii. He's older as well.
Oh, yeah, because he went on the mission, 2-year mission. Yeah, so, but Gary Jennings, I mean, like 52 games he played in college and, you know, was productive almost every year. You know, it's normal progression. Your freshman year don't have as many catches, but he had lots of catches. I think he had 13 touchdowns his senior year, so, but we haven't really seen anything from Gary Jennings, have we?
He had one good practice, I think, and Russell was raving about him. I think it was last Monday or whatever, but, yeah, I would think Gary Jennings is Is fourth round, is that good enough to get you a spot on the roster?
Not
if you're
always.
Gary Jennings?
I
just wonder about him, and I think that's, you know, if you're looking for a guy that needs to have a good performance against the Chargers, it's Gary Jennings out of that bunch. Because, I mean, we all know that Lockett's made it, and you thought, Danny, at one point that it was going to be either Moore or Brown, but I think most of us, you included, think that Moore and Brown are pretty much locks at this point, along with Metcalf. I'm pulling for Ursua, though, Dave. I mean, I hope that Ursua makes it. I like that they made a late draft, third day to get a trade so that they could pick him. And I like what I've seen from him. Jazz Ferguson might be this year's version of Kaysom Williams. We'll find out. He looks like he's done enough to make the team, especially with the other candidates you have, because it just looks wide open after Moore and Brown.
Are they going to use a fullback? And I ask that because they got one on the roster in Nick Ballore. You didn't see it at all when their first string offense. I think there was one play that I saw where Ballore was on the field, and he was lined up at tight end in that play. Mm-hmm. It was on, a third down on their second possession. No, third down on their first possession. Do you see them using a tight end or a fullback this year?
Yeah, I think they'd like to. Has that guy done enough to make the team? Pete raves about him. He's talked about him a couple times, hasn't he?
He has.
Yeah, and he talked about his versatility. He played linebacker a little bit. And did he go in the game?
I don't think he played linebacker in the game.
Oh, but he was in the scrimmage.
He was definitely using it in the practice and then in the scrimmage.
Yeah. Why don't they have another guy competing with him?
Well, I think it was either him or nobody.
It's hard to find one fullback, let alone two, Jim.
They had Trey Madden last year. He really wasn't much of a blocker. He was a great pass catcher, but he wasn't a very good blocker. So, yeah, I mean, if you were able to put him in front of Chris Carson, lined up in like an old style, can't believe I'm saying this, old style I-backs was so common in the league. But and then you have, you know, your tight end. By the way, I've seen good things out of Nick Vinette. I think our buddy Nick Vinette blocking really well. He's got good hands, but his blocking has gotten better. So, him and Will Disley at tight end, and then, you know, those two guys behind with George Fant maybe as the wing. I mean, that's a huge mass of humanity there that, you know, you got to pick up a yard or a half a yard. Yeah, that might be beneficial to have that guy leading the way for Chris Carson.
It's really interesting because you're right. Pete has raved about him. He's the only fullback that's on the roster. I've assumed he's going to make the team just because that was a guy that they brought in and they signed him to a contract. It wasn't just a, hey, we'll give you a shot. But seeing him out there, maybe that's a case of them keeping it very vanilla in the preseason and not wanting to give away too much. But I was like, where's the fullback? Aren't they going to... I was led to believe that we were going to see some fullback this year, and we haven't been seeing too much of it.
Yeah, maybe they don't want to show anything, you know, right now. But it seems like they signed him going, okay, let's test this guy out. And if we like him, let's just have a fullback. Otherwise, we'll just won't have a fullback this year. So I think that like you said, he's raved about him. So I think... You're going to see that this year. How cool will that be? If you have Yapati, who's healthy, and DJ Fluker, Fetty's a huge human being, really Brit, and then those two guys lined up with Carson behind Ballore. I mean, yeah, that's going to be I would hate to be playing linebacker on the other side of that.
It's a fair amount of beef that is stocked up front. We also need to acknowledge Puna Ford. I remember last year, it was week two, and there were a lot of questions, and I would say even scrutiny, over Tom Johnson. And if nobody remembers him, it's because he was only here for one game. But he was a guy, they'd guaranteed his salary, which was like $900,000, by keeping him on the roster. He played one game. They released him in week two because they needed to get more linebackers active. And he ended up sort of taking the money and running, which totally his prerogative. He wasn't obligated to come back to Seattle. And at the time, people were like, why did Seattle do that? Well, the reason they did it was because they didn't want to put Puna Ford through waivers. A year later, Tom Johnson's not in the NFL on any roster, and Puna Ford looks like he's going to be a starting nose tackle on this team. And he looked awesome on Sunday night in Minnesota.
He did. Oh, and the fact that they kept him out in the first game was like, oh, he's arrived, huh? I mean, he's sitting out with, like, Dwayne Brown, like the starters, but amazing what he's done. And it's so strange to me. I love free agents just because nobody could evaluate him. I mean, you see the way he's playing right now. And Justin Britt went a little overboard calling him a Hall of Famer. But, I mean, you see the kind of performance that he had. I think that's repeatable. I'm not saying he's going to just dominate every game, but he's going to be hard to block.
How do we feel about his celebration? Where he kind of rubs his belly.
Yeah, he did that last year.
Rubs
his
belly.
Oh, that's all right.
You like the rubbing the
belly? Yeah, I like the belly rubs.
Rubbing of the belly?
Yeah, who used to do that with the Bennett?
Yeah, no.
Somebody, no, it was another player.
Mebane?
Mebane.
Mebane yeah. Did Mebane do that?
Mebane did something with his belly, didn't he?
He would generally do some sort of what he called the two pumps and a bump.
Yeah.
sort of celebration dance, I believe, from MC Hammer.
Yeah. Michael Bennett, remember when he said something about the production of babies
yes,
going up when he
talked about it, angels what draped in chocolate was one of the images that he wanted to summon with his hip pivot.
Yeah,
that
I
he
don't
would
remember
do.
That part.
I always thought of Ravishing Rick Rude when he did it. You remember him, the pro wrestler,
yeah, yeah.
We're talking about, now what I want is all of you Minnesota sweat hogs to keep the noise down while I take my robe off. I always enjoyed that.
What do you typically remember whenever Michael Bennett's name comes up, though?
I remember, you should be fired and suspended.
Right in this room.
Oh.
Should be fired
and I was sitting
and
right here.
I can almost feel the spit deflecting off of your face, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking I'm going to tackle him and this is going to hurt.
Yeah, and I'm going to get myself hurt and probably a surgery because of Jim's dumbass.
I was like, do I call
I wasn't
cops?
Being dumb that day. I wasn't.
Okay, maybe not
he just
that
got
day.
In my face and, yeah.
That was not, you know, it's for once I can actually say this, that one wasn't on you.
Thank you, Jess. I appreciate that.
Jim stood tall in
one
the pocket.
Time.
I did stand tall. I wish he'd swung at me, though. I would have gotten after him.
No,
you would have.
No. After him in court.
No, in court, yeah.
You would have had a sewn shut
I'd be
jaw.
On that, I'd be on that dock.
What do you say, Jim?
I'm rich. I don't have to work anymore. My jaw's wired yeah. shut, and it's worth every penny.
Come on, River, get that tennis ball.
We got the Professor John Clayton coming up next.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
5 o'clock refresh. No, it's time for What We Learned, brought to you by Carter Volkswagen.
You need to be refreshed.
Seriously. Maybe I need the brain scan. Jess!
Hi!
How are you?
I'm great.
How was the show?
Good to be back with you guys. Show's been fun. Really fun.
It has been.
Yeah. Okay, well.
What did we learn?
It's been very educational as well.
I actually like you people.
Yeah, you guys are all right.
Thanks, Dave.
All right.
Like you too.
We started off by learning today just what happened to Wyman's beans.
Is this New York Guardians?
Yes.
Yeah, the Guardians.
The Guardians?
Yeah, and it's got like a saber-toothed tiger. I'm not so sure about that
what?
One.
I kind of like the idea that the Guardians. Who are you going to be guarding? Who will the Guardians have
oh,
guarding?
No.
Man, I heard somebody say that the other day, and it just it steams my being, Danny.
What?
Oh, next. Wyman's beans got steamed.
Oh, my God.
What's that line from?
I was just watching Night Shift the other night.
I have literally never heard that expression in my life.
Really?
It's pretty good.
Remember the old guy goes to New York? What really steams my bean is they're going to put that strumpet back out on the street.
So it's like your bean is your head?
I do remember Night Shift.
Steams my beans.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton's in that.
Yeah. Michael Keaton, underrated.
You know who else is in it? Kevin Costner is one of the frat boys that's in the morgue party.
I did not know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like a star thing. But yeah, Keaton is good. He did Mr. Mom.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great movie. He was a great Batman.
Really?
I was
yes.
scared of the vacuum because of that
With
movie.
Jack Nicholson?
I don't think he was a good Batman.
Really?
No, he's a funny guy.
Yeah?
You don't want him as Batman.
Never rub another man's rhubarb? I guess that was Nicholson's line.
Well, you might have to use that someday on the radio show, and maybe it'll turn up in What We Learned.
We also learned that Wyman had to take out his brain and wash it.
Uh-oh.
You can tell when guys come back and that the staff around the team loves them, that usually says a lot. He gave a tour to John Stanton, right, when he came back. Like, we talked to him, because we talked to him when he was in Minnesota, and Stanton went and walked him around the stadium before he came
yeah,
down
he did.
To us
yeah, before he came
season.
To Eggers.
Which is fun. You weren't there that week.
Oh, well, yeah.
I saw Nelson Cruz this year.
Oh, you did. Okay, you were there.
Yeah.
You almost missed it. You had your brain test.
Oh, my concussion test. That's right. Yeah. Maybe Danny should get checked for it because he didn't think I was there. I'm glad I made such a big impression on you that day, Danny.
Well, no, it's because I worried that you were going to be gone. I was like, they're testing Wyman's brain. They better pack a lunch.
You weren't offended by that.
I thought it was hilarious.
It's an all-day sucker right here.
Like I said, I was hoping they'd have to fight through a lot of CTE to get into the middle of the brain there.
I talked to the doctor about that. I saw her, I think, the next night, and she said, yeah, I heard about Dave on the radio. He revealed more things than he was supposed to.
She did not.
Yes, she did.
No.
She did.
How'd you even know what doctor
on God.
Was?
Huh? It
How
just happens because her kid plays on my kid's basketball
What was
game.
There that I could have said? Like I revealed the answers to the test?
No, she wasn't like upset about it, but I guess there was, you know, some stuff that came out that she was surprised to hear.
Well, if I'm okay with it,
yeah,
that should be fine.
It's, his brain.
It's my brain. Yeah.
His side
brain.
Of the HIPAA law.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it was when you said you'd be disappointed if you didn't have some CTE.
That might have bothered her.
If you came back and they said, like, this is a pristine human brain.
Like, uh-oh.
A fantastic specimen. It's like, Dave, no, I promise I used it as a weapon.
I'd have to go. I'd try to go get my, use your head as a weapon. Try to get some highlight films. Go, see, it hit pretty hard there. Really should
what
have
that
more
say
CTE.
About your skull? Finally, today we learned with Barkevius Mingo how Wyman records things.
The funniest thing was Wyman sent us video of the 50 Cent first pitch. Mm-hmm. Only when Dave sends video, it's not that he's editing it on his computer or anything. He's holding his phone up to the television while he's sitting in his easy chair. And you're like, hear him go, look at this idiot.
That's the way I do it.
It's the most,
I didn't know there was any other way.
It's the most old man thing possible. Can you believe this?
What do you mean? I saved you the step of having to push on the link. You just push the button and go.
It's like, wow, look at Dave's Short living room's a little dark. Like, why doesn't he have more overhead lights? I'm worried about his eyesight in there.
Barkevius was giving you a courtesy laugh. Though.
Probably.
Yeah.
I do want to correct the statement, because I said that's the most old man thing possible. That's incorrect. That's erroneous. The most old man thing possible is the way Larry Stone takes pictures, which is by holding his hands fully out with the cell phone camera. Like, it's like they're fully extended.
Even like, it looks like he's trying to take a selfie.
You can't do that. Yes, it's full extension.
Oh.
It would be better if it was an iPad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's similar to that.
I used to take pictures of my kids with the iPad. They were so horrified by that.
Yeah.
Like my daughter's soccer team, I was up there holding up the big thing. They just, they'd get so embarrassed. You know what I would think? Yes. Because you embarrass me a lot, too.
That's going to do it for us. We want to thank Barkevius Mingo for joining us. Jessima McIntyre for being our super producer. Ashley was on the board for us. Ashley did a fantastic job for the three of us. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 on Danny, Dave, and More.